Hi, welcome to an episode of Django Chat, a podcast on the Django Web Framework. I'm Will Vincent, joined by Carlton Gibson. Hello, Carlton.
Hello, Will.
And we're very pleased to have Haim Kirby, president of the Django Software Foundation, join us for this episode. Hi, Haim.
Hi, Will. Hi, Carlton. Thanks for having me.
Hello, Haim. Thank you
for having me. Happy to finally have you on. So this episode is being more or less real time, so it'll come out tomorrow from when we record. So that's a nice change. But let's start with the Django Software Foundation. So you're the president.
I am.
As of this year.
Yeah.
What's the quick pitch? Like, I thought Django was just code. What's this other organization?
Yeah, so the Django Software Foundation, we own the copyright to the code. We hold the copyright. We hold the trademarks. We police both of those things. And somewhat more importantly, I think we manage the community or help to manage the community around Django. The steering committee is part of the DSF. The steering committee sort of leads technical innovation. The fellows with Carlton, I think I can say that for another 4 days. Being one Carlton and Marius.
Well, only two, really.
Two days.
Whatever the end of the month is. I don't even know what today is. The 28th. There you go. Carlton and Marius are wonderful fellows. And we do have a new fellow joining us. The announcement will be coming out very soon, but I think this podcast will probably come out before the announcement. But we've had a wonderful time with Carlton, and we hope that process will continue in an amazing way. And yeah, but yeah, so the DSF, everything that isn't Django code specifically. In the Django ecosystem and world.
And then so how does one get on the DSF? So you and I were on it together for several years. How did you find out about it, right? Because you're a programmer, but I think it takes a while before a Django person even knows about it. Maybe at a Django Con, or how did you learn about it?
So I'm a little bit unusual, and I think we'll probably get into this a bit. I have an engineering background, but also a legal background. And so stuff like that sort of jumps out to me, or I make a purpose of looking at it. But more to the point, I found in my life that things that I'm interested in, I tend to fall into positions of leadership or something like that. And I think more it's if I'm interested in it, I'm going to go all in. And so I discovered the DSF fairly soon in my life. Joining the board, well, I guess there's two different things in joining the DSF, right? Because we have members, and then we have the board, and then we have committees and stuff, which we could talk about. And membership is a place where I'm really interested in growing the DSF, what it means to be a member, our membership right now, what the bylaws say membership is and what our membership is right now isn't even fully aligned. But right now, membership is kind of a lifetime achievement. You've done good things in the community award, for lack of a better term. There's probably about 250, 300 individual members of the DSF. And then the board, separate from the steering committee, is charged with all these sort of legal and bureaucratic aspects of running the DSF, like we said. And anybody can run for the board. We have elections once a year. Don't have to be a member. Anybody in the world can run for the board. Only members can vote. Generally speaking, I think people who are elected to the board are people who are known to the community. But if you can write a good personal statement, you'll get elected. We made a change last year, and we'll participate in this change. It used to be we elected to one-year terms. And over COVID, that seemed to us who were on the board to be a bad idea because, you know, there was a huge potential for burnout of everybody doing everything. And the idea of the entire board deciding one day to be like, I'm done. That doesn't bode well for the life cycle of an organization. So we switched to a staggered two-year terms. So this year was our first election that kicked into that. So this year, half the board that was elected, well, there's seven of us. So four people who were elected to two-year terms, and three people were elected to the final one-year term for us to set up the staggering.
A positive take on that is that we noticed that, I guess the second year of COVID or during COVID, we had basically the same board. And I felt it was so much more productive because there is a ramp up period. And so most people, when they're new, which makes sense, aren't proactive because they're just learning the ropes the first certainly 6 months. And so that second year where we had the same board, I felt like, you know, changing the bylaws and all these other things, it was much more productive. So having, you know, two-year term made a lot of sense. And again, you know, Django relied on your legal background because you're certainly the only Django developer I know with a legal background.
Yeah, I think there's probably a few. I mean, right, when you say Django developer, this is something that always interests me. There's seven board members, three members of the steering committee, a few committees here and there. Like we have our fellowship committee that there are three people. We have a few others, the code of conduct committee, and there's overlap among them, right? Then 300 some odd DSF individual members. Then we saw JetBrains Django survey, and I think, correct me, there was, what, I think about 50,000 respondents, 20,000? I forget the number, but a couple tens of thousands.
I think it was like seven.
Am I getting fully confused, or am I thinking of the Python?
I think you're thinking of the Python one, okay. But there was I think like 7,000 last okay. year, something like that.
So 7,000 people responded. So what is a Django developer? And this is a big deal, and I know I sort of spoke about this in my talk in Porto that you're going to link, and thank you for that. There's probably 1 or 2 million Django developers at any time in the world, right? And so who are we doing this for, and who's participating in it? It's an interesting question. Anyway, yeah, sorry, a bit of a tangent, but.
No, it's not. I think it's really important because the thing you talked about there was that the individual membership award, let's call it, is for lifetime achievement. You've contributed to Django. There's an awful lot of those people that aren't currently involved in Django.
Correct.
Which is fine because there's no obligation to keep being involved in Django forever, right? Right. You move on, you go and do other things. And even if they are just away for a bit or they come back. But what we don't have, I think, and what I think somehow we... I don't know whether it needs to be an official thing, but I think it's really missing, is something that's more is for who's active now. So, okay, there's the Discord and the forum, and you can hang out in those places and you can come to the conferences. But there's an awful lot of people beyond that who are active in Django now. But I think for me, I'm like, how do I reach those people? Because say, for example, now we want to move the translations machinery from TransFX to Weblay, and they've offered us hosting and all the rest, but there's a workload to be done in moving that. Now I can email the members of the Django Software Foundation and say, hey, anyone going to help me? But most of the people on that list aren't perhaps active. Whereas if there's another forum where I'm like, hey, you're all active and we've got this issue, I'm going to get a better response. And it's difficult to know just from a pure maintenance perspective. If I want volunteers, The Hall of Fame isn't necessarily the place to ask for those volunteers. What's your thought on that?
Yeah, definitely. I think, and to call it a Hall of Fame, that's a difficult, and I've had that feeling too. But yeah, there's always this danger of when we have an initiative, when we decide we want to do something, either on the work side, on a committee side, whatever, we reach out to the membership. Why? Well, we have a mailing list. But it's hard to say, okay, we're going to continually ask the people who have been recognized for having given in the past and ask them to do more, right? That's a really excellent recipe for burnout. And we aren't giving other people the opportunity to join that membership by not giving them anything, but we don't have the channels to tell people, hey, there is things that can be done that aren't code, but that you can give back. It's kind of like political donations, right? You give one donation of $5 and suddenly like everybody who wants money emails you. It's like, oh, cause this is someone who'll give. It's like, but suddenly that's $500,000 if I gave to everybody. What's going on? I have another, I think, good example maybe to illustrate it. So I'm an admin on a Slack called Pi Slackers, and 50,000 people on that Slack, which we can talk about the Slack pricing and stuff at another point, but we don't pay anything. But 50,000 people on that Slack. If I go look at the metrics, about 200 are commenting, right? There's like 200 core people who like put whatever. But every week, you get this message about new users and people who moved inactive. However, Slack means inactive, probably haven't touched it in the week, right? And usually we have about 50 or 100 new users or 50 or 100 inactive, which means that community, people who are seeing these messages, yeah, it's 200 people driving it, but there's 49,000 people who are like seeing it. We in the DSF don't have that 49,000 in a channel.
Yeah. I mean, there is the Discord that's been set up.
There is the Discord.
And it's quite...
And full disclosure, I'm not actually on the Discord, maybe I should be...
Okay, so I'm on it, but I don't ever go on it because every time I go into Discord, my mind sort of explodes slightly. I find it really difficult to be in Discord.
Yeah, and I think that's right. So much of the Django community, rightly, is about the software. And of course, it's about the software. But there's so much that can be done without writing code for core Django, right? Translations, that's something. Writing your own libraries, or just you use Django, right? If you use it, it matters to you in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, maybe just for you updates, want us to be able to reach out to you. Just to get updates. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just I mean, but quite often as well, as in my time fellowing, I've had people come and they approach and say, well, what can I do? And it's like, it's really hard to guide them in the right direction to, well, as the contributing guide, which is great, but it's like reading the Bible. It's massive. It's big. It's intimidating. And we don't have that easy on-ramp for people who want to volunteer.
Well, it's funny, you know, when somebody comes into this, not even the Django community, but the software community, right? And they want to learn, you know, about a career. They want to learn. They went to school or not. What do we tell them? We tell them, you know, scratch your own itch. That's the only way you're going to do something that's interesting. And then that's lost maybe to some degree, right? Like, oh, write a package. You don't have to contribute to Django. Like, that was my entry into Django. I mean, I was using it for work, but I wrote a few packages. And, you know, maybe one other person has used them. But they're on PyPI, and that's cool. And that's maybe lacking. And I know... We were in San Diego. Carlton and I think, I forget if we met there, but we sort of became close in San Diego 2019, right? And we were talking about contributions and stuff, and Carlton was like, oh, there's this effort to move the Postgres-specific ORM bits to be database agnostic as much as possible. You know, maybe you could take some effort there. And I looked at it, but my time is finite, and certainly we could talk about that. And like, there wasn't an itch I had there, right? And that was actually, I think, around the time where I was like, yeah, I'll run for the board instead to some degree, because that sort of interested me more in scratching an itch in the communal aspect of things.
Well, in the conferences, something else that COVID highlighted is the conferences have really been, the Django Cons, the place to bring people into the community. I mean, that's how I got pulled in. And so not having the conferences, we really felt the lack of other ways to bring people in.
Even there, right? Our conferences are small, which is good, right? There's a group of people and you want it to be, right? You can meet anybody in the room and that's wonderful. It's not like this, you know, 10,000 person conference. Even PyCon is not 10,000 people, but it's too many and there's too many
feels like
channels.
It,
yeah. Right, exactly. but even there, how many people are new to those? Probably not too many, right? Maybe they've been doing a little, I don't know. No,
I'm going to argue
with
that.
Okay, please do.
I think that I was in Porto, and I was like, it was the first conference back after the two years of online, and it was like, is this going to work? Is it? And yet, first of all, it's like, oh, there's all the old faces. Like, brilliant. It's so good to see. And there were some people who didn't come. It's like, oh, so-and-so's not here. But they were all the old faces. And that was wonderful. But also, there were masses of new people and masses of youngsters as well, which is really important.
I didn't mean to say new people to the conferences. Yes, there are a lot of new people to the conferences. I don't think there's people come to the conferences usually. I think maybe I'm misreading, right? Because I've not run the conferences, I've been to them. People come when they've had an entree into the Django community. The conferences are not their entry point to the Django community, and especially, you know, and I say throwing ideas out and putting more work on other people's plates. I don't know. But I remember in San Diego, there was a student, I think a local student. I said, oh, like, was there advertising at your school? Was something like that? And they said, you know, no, I just happened to see a link. It's like, why don't we do local community advertising? And yeah, sure, there's numbers and whatever. But, you know, have a local cut or a student rate cut for the local university or whatever, get their computer science students to show up at a conference.
I don't know. Why don't we do that?
I thought you were going to say, why don't we have local chapters? And that's how I, there used to be a Django Boston pre-COVID, and that's unfortunately gone away. So there's, I think my main point I was going to say is that, you know, Django is all volunteers and it is this big thing. But when I ask people who aren't in the Django world, even Django developers, like, where do you think Django comes from? Like, they just assume, you know, it's tech. There's money flowing, you know, out of fountains, right? They just assume that Google or somebody has a, you know, financial incentive to make it all happen. But, you know, we're not even Python, right? Python's or step, you know, a big step up. And then there's other things. So Django's huge, but tiny. And That's a hard thing, even for software developers. It's like, well, it's just there, so it'll always be there.
Yeah. I'm glad you said that, Will, because it goes into something I was thinking. It's, you know, you mentioned, oh, local chapters. So when we were on the board, when Will and I were on the board, we got a request. We get grant requests, and we could talk about funding and stuff separately, but I think it's an important discussion. We got a request from somebody who wanted to start basically a Django club at their university. And I don't even know that they were asking for money per se. I mean, yeah, we might have thrown them a couple hundred bucks if you know, it made sense. But they're asking for, you know, resources or mentorship or something like that. And being the volunteer, and I know, Carlton, we can talk a lot about mentorship. I know that's something top of mind for you, and I think, Will, you as well. I mean, cards on the table. We run on about $250,000 a year. That's what we raise, and there's a bit of a budget shortfall. We could talk about that because of inflation and various other things. It's interesting to think, and I know these are conversations that we've had, what could we do with more? What would we do with more? What work would it take to raise more? Because I think there's a whole lot that could be done, but who knows? Yeah.
Okay, so here's my, when you say that, my immediate thought is, and this comes back to the point I made about we need to be able to reach who's active now. Because, okay, let's say we raised $500,000 extra, like three times the budget. Okay, what would we do with that? More to the point, who's going to do it?
Excellent.
Right? Who's gonna do that work with the money that we raise? It's
yeah.
Like we're kind of, so I guess the question is, what do you think the scope of the DSF should be? Because clearly it needs to defend Django and the trademark, and clearly the fellowship program, or I absolutely believe that the fellowship program is the reason why Django's been able to succeed over the longer term. And then there's the Django cons, which I think are absolutely vital. But beyond those things, what do you think the scope of the DSF is reasonable to take on?
Absolutely. Excellent question. So first, you're scooping, I think, something that I'm going to bring up at the next board meeting. So I apologize to the rest of the board members. I will say these are my own thoughts. This is not, you know, the DSF or the board's thoughts. But yes, first and foremost, what do we need to do? So the fellows are the driving force behind our roadmap hitting its target dates. Yes, the steering committee sort of is the final arbiters, but the fellows are doing the day-to-day work 100% and all everything to them. Carlton, Marius, I could not do what you guys do. It's amazing. So thank you for all the work you've done. Separately, yeah, doing grants are sort of big funds grant-wise, DjangoCon Europe, DjangoCon US, DjangoCon Africa. There's going to be a DjangoCon Africa this year. Very exciting. And then primarily Django Girls events. There are a few others here and there, but those are sort of the big grant monies. And then small things. We pay for hosting, things of that nature, a few places. So what could we do with more? Well, the DSF, by its founding articles, has four mandates. To protect Django, so trademark, copyright, things like that. And I'm going to get some of these wrong. To develop Django, so the fellows, people contributing, the steering committee, what have you. To further the cutting edge of modern web development, which I think gets kind of close into just developing Django, but things like async falls into that broadly, right? And then finally, and I think this is where we drop the ball continuously, and I would suggest for whatever the 17 years the DSF has been a thing, is promote Django.
Right.
We do a little promotion by way of giving money to Django Girls, by giving money to the conferences, by letting people under our rules of trademark use the trademark appropriately. But that's it, right? And again, it's because it's volunteer. And that's fine. If we had more money, some ideas, and there are various places that we could place the money. It depends on what scope and what we prioritize. One would be, I think there's a recognition that there may be some scope for more fellow effort. So certainly, you know, sort of more people paid to work on and with and around Django would be very appropriate. An idea has been floated a number of times about an executive director to handle more of the day-to-day. So it's not wholly volunteer the sort of running of the Django world. And then what could we do with money, right? Around promotion? Could we run more events? Do we bring cons back under the umbrella of the DSF? There's been, you know, conversations going both directions of that. Like the Python world, the PSF runs PyCon, right? We don't run DjangoCon. Defna runs DjangoCon US, and we sort of manage DjangoCon Europe by finding a committee to do it every year. Maybe we could do outreach. Maybe we could have community liaisons, developer relations, right? Maybe we, little things. Put out a PR blurb every time there's a major release and send to like tech news channels, right? We don't do that. tiny things that would cost nothing but time, but we don't have the time, so let's spend a few bucks to do it, perhaps.
You're reminding me of, we should ask her on as a guest, Deb Nicholson, who's the PSF, the new executive director. Anna, the past DSF president, and I had a really great call with her, I guess last year, where we, you know, and asking, you know, what, you know, coming new into this new, like, what can an executive director do? And she really, you know, I mean, she got the PSF job, so, and she's worked in the space for years, so she really could lay out what such a person can do, right? And it's really just someone full-time organizing the trains, doing all these little things, delegating, you know, making hard calls that need to be made, you know, operationally, not around the code. So it's certainly, when you're on the inside of the DSF, it's definitely like, ooh, it'd be nice if there was, you know, it's hard to know if it's just like a white unicorn, or like, how much do we need these things?
Also, so it's a definitely, oh, Carlton, go for it.
Yeah. No, go on, because I'm bursting at this point. Is it because technically speaking, the framework is in a stronger position as it's been for years. Like the last few releases, just so many things, ticks have been ticked, you know, boxes have been ticked and improvements have been made. And it's really exciting. And it's like, yeah, we should be promoting Django. It's like, actually, it's not old and crusty and withering. It's like, you know, new bloom. Let's promote it. Let's get people excited about using it.
Yeah, and I think there's maybe a differentiator there talking about DSF, Django, PSF, Python, right? People look at the DSF and they see Django. And maybe they see, yeah, it's exciting, but it's difficult to get into. It's opaque because it's robust. It is large, right? It is, and it's working. And so how do I get into it? Python, certainly, there's a lot going on in the Python world, but it's all about the community around Python and PyCon and the PSF, right? And I made this comment for anybody who listens to my 2022 Europe talk, that let's go really dour, the death of Django, right? It's not going to be because the code base dies and withers. Like, honestly, we could do no more work and it would be long lived. It does what it needs to do. We want to continually improve it and make it modern and, you know, do everything that anybody would want to do, but it's good. It's excellent. If Django dies, it's going to be the community that dies because people are like, oh yeah, the code's done. What else is there to do? And there's so much to do. If you care about the community, if you care about using Django, right? If you don't, it's a bit of a tautology. There's nothing to do if there's nothing to do. Well, there is if you want to do stuff.
Well, and that's why we're having this chat so people can hear.
Right. Precisely.
I mean, you know, but part of it, you know, you brought up a political analogy. I mean, it's a democracy in all its strengths and weaknesses. And one of the weaknesses is sometimes it's hard to get something done. I mean, even, you know, in a sense, well, not me anymore, I don't matter. But if there were ever people to get something done, I mean, Carlton's a fellow for another 2 days. You're the president. So
I'll get it done. 2 days, like, no problem.
Let's, this is real world for people. Hey, let's have a newsletter on the Django project site because we don't have it. That's a big reason why I have the Django News newsletter, because we don't have it. But like, you know, how are we going to reach someone if we don't do that? Like, how does that actually play out kind of behind the scenes?
Absolutely.
Hi, maybe you can, or both of you can illuminate that for people.
So I can't speak deeply historically, but I can say for the last 3 years, the bulk of that were a very unusual time. But the board and the couple other people who work on committees, steering committee, our fellowship committee, it's how much time they're willing to put in, right? There are minimal expectations. Yes, our bylaws say we can remove somebody who's not performing their job, but I don't think that's ever happened, right? And so the expectations are really how much we expect of ourselves, right? Is it we're on the board and okay, great, you go to an hour long meeting, or, you know, I guess Will was the treasurer. The treasurer has a little bit more and the president has a little bit more. Or are you actually going to put that time in? Because right now, hopefully we can get to a place where it's not just about people who come up with a couple hours here and there can do something if they so desire. Hopefully it can be a little bit more robust, for lack of a better term. But let's speak in specifics. The board, last board meeting, approved some changes to the bylaws. The bylaws had some interesting language around committees that were restrictive, and we can change the bylaws. So now we eliminated that section, and they'll get published soon on the website. And we look back to the higher article of the bylaws that says the board can do anything basically for the good of the DSF. So we are going to start expanding our committees and expanding the support for Django, both for opportunities for people to give back, hopefully, also to allow the board, hopefully, to become more of a proactive and directional force in the DSF and less of bureaucratic, reactive, oh, we have to like figure out if we're going to give this grant kind of thing. So one immediate place where people can maybe come back and we're going to ask for volunteers will be on some of these committees. The ones that are obvious that we're going to put off, we're going to build up a funding committee who will review grant requests. The board will finally approve them, but we're going to have a funding committee. The one that goes immediately with that, a fundraising committee. Because fundraising, I just said, it's important. We actually did have a budget shortfall. We have savings. We're okay. But, right, so fundraising is important. And fundraising needs to be a concerted effort. So if we bring on an executive director, right, we would do that. Then we can start thinking about things. A lot of it is going to be a question of the membership and greater Django community, how much they want to give back in various areas, right? Do we have a swag committee? Do we have a promotion committee, right? Like, we have a Twitter channel, Twitter with all its dumpster fire of everything, but we also have a presence on, I think, Mastodon. We have various presence. Maybe it's just one or two people that once or twice a month put together a press release, a tweet, whatever, start in that promotional direction. If people are interested, you know, I'm related to the education world. My mother's an educator. My wife's a principal. Why don't we have teaching materials? And I know that starts to get into a very weird space, and especially for Will. Will's like, hey, that's how I make money. But that's not what I mean. But like why, you know, we have the how-to, and we have...
I don't care if the money comes from readers of the DSF.
There we go. That's good. But again, I go back to this kid who requested stuff for a club at college. Like, that could, we, you know, it would have been probably 5 or 10 kids, but it's like, hey, this is a community that's welcoming, that, you know, the software does what you want it to do. It's very open for you to do what you need to do. But we didn't have anything to give them, whether it's swag, whether it's finances, whether it's, we had nothing. Right. And I'm using them a bit as a touch point because it seemed like an interesting, they came to us and we're like, we got nothing.
It's similar with people who want to contribute. Is it's really hard to point to an easy issue or an easy on-ramp or an, like, it's in, that's not for lack of wanting to or lack of thought about these things. It's just that, actually, I don't really know where to guide you to immediately begin.
Well, I think something you said earlier, Chaim, you know, I guess with Carlton and the Postgres is that, you know, it didn't scratch your itch, so you didn't do it. That's kind of the problem with the non-code part of Django, is that it doesn't scratch your particular itch. Like, you're helping to help, but setting up a merch store, doing a developer survey, all these things, it's largely invisible, and it's not something that is helping you day to day in your job. So, you know, you can do some of it, but to do all this stuff, it's not sustainable. Someone unpaid isn't going to do it, and that's kind of the problem. I think fundamentally is that, like, no one can really expect, even fellowing, right? I mean, why do we have fellows? Because it's just unreasonable to expect volunteers to push out these updates. And so, yeah, highlighting with the, you know, but if I could push you on, so how does something actually get done? So if I put in a PR on Django project for here's a box for a newsletter on MailChimp or something. What is it? See, the thing is like, I don't, you know, I or someone else, I actually know how things are, but like, I don't want to put in the work to do that unless I know it's going to be approved, but it's hard to know in advance if it'll be approved and who even approves it.
Right. So that's an interesting question because,
I mean, yeah, we can talk about how things actually get approved, Carlton and stuff, on serve developers list.
Well, that's a really interesting one, right? Because that's an approval for a, like, code change to the website, but it's also asking for approval to a change of how we use the website, right? And what its goal is, which is a little bit different, and is a very interesting question. And I think part of that is there are two large things that are very conflated on the website that make it difficult more for one than the other. One is Django. Yes, DjangoProjects.com. It is Django. It is the code. It's how to use the code. It's how to look at the code. It's how to think about the code. But then you go to the footer or the side, it's like, oh, and it's the DSF. And it's fundraising. If you click, you know, 14 links plus maybe, you know, put in a code that we never send you. I mean, I'm being facetious, of course, but it's not obvious, right? And so when you bring up a newsletter, that has a weird maybe overlap of both, right? We're talking about Django in the context of making it available on this website, but it's about the bigger DSF community thing. So who'd approve that? The ultimate change on the website, you know, one of the fellows would merge it, I guess. I don't know.
No, it's okay. Yeah. No, okay. I'll tell you what would happen in that exact case. What would happen in that exact case is we'd go, code looks fine, but there's no way I can merge this without the board's approval. And we'd try and get the board's approval and it probably wouldn't happen. And we'd sort of go around and we'd be stuck and it'd be like, paralysis.
Or if I put it on the developer's mailing list and, you know, a lot of people would quietly say yes, then a couple people would have probably, you know, logical objections, and then we get stuck in the mud.
Yeah.
Unless someone really, really pushed
it. Yeah. And I think, unfortunately, something like that, exactly how it would come about, you know, I don't know, but spitballing needs to be part of a larger organizational community, whatever, overhaul. So, like I said, our membership is sort of an unusual in-betweeny place, right? There's plenty of people who, what do they mean by members? Oh, I want to get the email or I want to just be aware of what's going on, right? We don't really have that, but there's probably a space for that. There's also, we didn't even talk about corporate membership, which is a whole other thing that is hopefully getting an overhaul. The website is, I believe, getting an overhaul. There's a process in place that we're doing that. I don't know the exact timeline. I mean, I have a sense of the exact timeline, but I don't feel comfortable sharing it. Let's put it that way. But so there is going to be an overhaul. Whether that overhauls some of these larger questions is a big dependency. And again, it all comes back to everyone's a volunteer and everybody who volunteers for these various roles, be it on the board, be it on the committee. The fellows aren't a volunteer, but even they have a ton of work to do.
Too much, to be honest.
The best intentions are wonderful, but a lot falls by the wayside. A lot is like, yeah, we can keep talking about this, but you can talk about something for an hour, but if it turns out that it's going to take somebody 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 or 100 hours to do, that's a much bigger ask.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, so I had, just to come back to the idea about the merch store, like I had somebody suggest to me at DjangoCon US about doing t-shirts, and they were prepared to do the t-shirts and they got graphic skills and all the rest.
Was it this last year?
Yeah, just last year gone. And, I was like, that's all brilliant, but they're asking me as the fellow to sort of facilitate that. And it's like, I just don't have any bandwidth or capacity or authority to do any of those things. And I don't really know how to enable you to step forward and make that happen. And we could have release t-shirts, like Django 4.2 LTS new t-shirt. But there's people who it does scratch their itch to create such a thing. But how do we enable them to actually do it?
Well, but you didn't mention this to me, Carlton. Well, so like we're talking about all these things we can't do. When I ran for the board, two of the things I wanted to do was bring back the Django Developer Survey, which I only knew from talking to Tim Graham had even existed, and to get the merch store up. So like I set up the merch, or people had already done quite a bit of work on it, but it wasn't live and there needed to be a final push. So the Django merch store that exists, like I did that. I think one or two other people have access, but like, you know, I set that up. So if somebody wants to do it, it's like, okay, come, like, should have been, come, you know, but here's the cross channels. Like, ask me, since I used to ostensibly run it, I still have the login, and like we can put the designs up and make it happen. Like, I spent quite a bit of time with, what is her name? Libby, who does the beautiful shirts for the Australian ones, trying to get a little bit nicer things. So it's totally doable. I think that's the problem, is that there isn't like a place to ask, or there isn't a committee. Like I was going to ask with the committee. So how does, are they formed? They're going to be formed. How does someone get on them?
Yeah,
like what's
absolutely.
The plans?
We are in the process of getting our ducks in a row on the board to put that together. One thing that we decided, at least in the short term, is that every committee will have a board member as like a liaison member, just to get things going and, you know, sort of corral, for lack of a better term. There will be an invite probably for the first two or three, or an open call for interest, I guess, for the first two, I think, both of the funding ones. Hopefully coming soon. I don't know the exact time. That's been delegated to another board member, but hopefully coming soon. A lot of that is going to be level of interest. And it's hard to say, oh, here's two committees and use that to evaluate level of interest for committees in general, because people might not be interested in those. But if we went whole hog and said, hey, because we probably could envision 5, 6, 7 committees in different spaces. But if we went whole hog and they got zero interest, that's really hard, right? But it's going to be, you know, we'll post it freely. It'll show up on Twitter. It'll show up on the news. It'll show up on the mailing list. My expectations is it's going to be a lot of mailing list people who are going to be the ones who feedback. And we also have to make decisions on who can be on different committees, right? We haven't set any hard and fast rules, but like people who decide funding grants, we probably want those to be individual members, right? They have skin in the game, for lack of a better term. Fundraising, that could probably be open to anyone, you know, who has an interest in or uses Django. I don't see why not. And also that becomes an entry point potentially to becoming an individual member, right? You gave back, you were on a committee. Like you definitely did the work. But yeah, I will say, sort of going back to who to contact. So this is going to be, I guess, an Easter egg for people who actually listen to the chat. So please don't put it in the show notes. Feel free to, and I hope I don't regret saying this, feel free to email president@djangoproject.com. I know when I was, you know, not on the board or anything, not often, but once or twice, I emailed Russell, I emailed Frank with a thought, with an idea, whatever. And it took a while to get back to me because, of course, right? It was just a random thought. But so, yes, please, if you have an idea, if you have a thought, if you have a question, not just a random question, right? We have the correct channels for that. But if there's something that doesn't seem right, yeah, email me that you think it's a board or it's a community thing that's a question, feel free to. And I do want to say that I think me saying that is reflective of, I think, the Django community and the Python community more so, which is I feel comfortable saying that because the people in our community are good and nice and helpful and not, you know, negative. And also, I say that because before I was president, I felt comfortable doing that. And that probably says a lot about me. But anybody in this community really should feel comfortable in saying, yeah, I'm going to reach out with an idea. Your ideas are valid. They might not be actionable. That's a separate discussion, but they're valid ideas. So yeah, bring them up. And I'll be that sort of sounding board.
So the committee thing sounds great because we've actually talked about this with Deb from the PSF, and we on the board have talked about this a lot, is that it's too much to expect board members to both delegate, manage, and organize and do the work. But if they can, you know, it's already a huge lift to just organize. But I think if you have these committees and, you know, the remit, the point is like you're going to make recommendations and then things will happen. Because I think it's that things will happen, right? Like if there's a marketing committee and they make a recommendation, they do their thing, they make a recommendation to the board that says, we really think that we should have an email, a newsletter, an official Django newsletter. And then that goes through the process, right? That makes it a lot easier to do the work if you know it's going to be list, like something's going to happen. And like someone wants to object, they can object, but like there is a process. So all that is pretty exciting. I did want to circle back to Carlton because at one point you were, you know, fellows, if they had more time, like since you're, this is your swan song, like, you know, we could, and you and I have talked privately, like, well, you know, if money was no object, how many fellows should we have? Like what, or what's the scope of things that could be done that aren't being done? Because people don't see that. They just see, oh, there's a new release and it's relatively secure.
Okay, no, I mean, so we hit very well. We hit the releases every month. We hit we handle the security issues very well. We've got the issue tracker under control. And I did a post a while back about the different suites. So I did a talk in 2018 on your web framework needs you, and we had, I can't remember exactly, let's say 1,250 tickets open accepted tickets, which is the metric. And now we're down to about 900. So the 5 years later, it's been down by about a third, which is, you know, pretty good going, I would say, because historically it had been building up. So we do all of that really well. But then there's other packages in there. If you go to the Django GitHub org, there's other packages, which I maintain the channels packages. And I don't get as much time on those as I want. I'm hoping to have more time now. This morning, though, because Django is under control, and we had, there was a Redis Pi security release, I'm like, right, I really need to do an update for channels Redis. So this morning I spent working on channels Redis. It's like, do you know what? that's amazing. Because if I could do that just, you know, occasionally, it doesn't have to be all the time, but if there was sort of furlough capacity to occasionally make sure these other packages were better looked after, that would be amazing. That would just be, it wouldn't have to be a lot. There's the whole jazz band orc, right? Which are massively under under maintained, not for lack of love or what, but just one person doing it, two people doing it. Like, if a fellow had from time to time a bit of capacity to just sort of be at large amongst the jazz band packages, that would make a mass
too. Yeah.
Yeah. And just, you know what? I'm going to sit and merge these three. I'm going to sit and resolve these three hard tickages on, you know, debug toolbar, which everybody uses. Debug toolbar is fantastically maintained. So, but it's perhaps not the best example. But, you know, everybody relies on this. It needs, you know, somebody to sit down and do two hard days on this, and actually it would be resolved. If there was capacity to a fellow to do that, what a difference to the ecosystem it would make. You know, like Django Orloth, which is massively well-maintained and well-sponsored and whatnot. But do you know what? That's so crucial to the Django ecosystem that if a fellow needed to spend a bit of time on it and had that capacity, what a return on investment to the Django ecosystem that would be if that was available.
For the sanity of the fellows, doesn't that feel nice to do? Right,
it's not. Yeah, it's
like
such a relief.
Just in terms of keeping the fellows that we have there.
Yeah,
it's like it's intellectually rewarding. Not that in a way that the triage can be like drained. The triage is intellectually rewarding too. But if you're doing the triage and the pull request review on Django all the time, it can be like, do you know what? I may not have the capacity. Ultimately, after 5 years of it, I have to stop now. That's enough for me. I'm moving on to other things. I'm not leaving Django. I'm very excited to be building stuff with Django as it now is, because it's a lot different than it was in 2018. It's like, oh yes, this is fun time now for me. But if you as fellow, you know what you've got an away day over in the Jazz Band X project. Brilliant. I've got a couple, you know, what a refresh. Because one of the hardest things is dealing with people, right? People turn up, they've got an issue, and again, you have to, in goodwill and good spirit, reply to them saying, no, this isn't an aisle, you know. And people, they get really upset when you say no. And it's hard to handle that. And, you know, it's always with the right response and all that. You know, you want to rage out and be like, just go away. You can't do any of that. So to go off and just do some coding on a different project, wonderful, wonderful. And what a difference it would make to those other projects, and what a difference it would make to Django's secret source, which is third-party packages.
Yeah. I'm wondering, we should send Randall Monroe the idea. And I think it's come up on, the XKCD has come up on your podcast before, that with the one, it's like, you know, the huge tower with the one tiny piece that's like, you know, some random developer in Ohio. But like, there's a recursive version of that. Right? Like that might be Django, but then like you say, Carlton, it's like, there's a third party package that actually everybody relies on that we can't do a ton of work. And there've been questions, you know, about bringing various packages under the DSF umbrella, but then it gets into a question of time. And again, comes back to, we mentioned, it's a question of funding. And I know we've discussed this before and, you know, Will in board meetings, and I'm certain it's come up on Django chat before. Right? Like there's a chicken and egg problem. Like, A, do we want to raise more money? Do we have reasons to do it? And I think potentially, yeah, there's probably earmarks, but more fellows, or even for the fellows to have, like you say, you know, one day a week, one day every 2 weeks, whatever, instead of working on Django, go work on a jazz band project, or like sort of the 20% time, if you want to call it that, right? But it'll be good that we start a fundraising committee to work on that. But like, honestly, to do any initiatives that we've talked about, that we've thought about, whatever, it's like close to doubling our budget, like right off the bat, to feel comfortable at a minimum.
Well, maybe this is me a couple months off the board, so feeling somewhat refreshed, but I mean, it's doable. I mean, our budget is, it's less than a big corp, a single big corp software engineer. And like, more to the point, like if somebody goes, and I'm very excited about these committees because that's been a wish list for a long time. But, and like, I will put my name in for at least one of them. But, you know, there's an issue on Django Project repo right now that Carlton and I have filled out saying, okay, if we need more money, like, we don't need to reinvent the wheel here. Like, we have all this real estate on Django Project on the sidebar. And right now, it's just a random thing of some random person. Like, just do what every other site, like, look at Vue.js, look at, like, just say, if you give a certain amount, boom, you get a little more placement. Like, you know, like, it's not rocket science. It's been solved. Or, for example, we need another fellow. Let's have a 3-year thing. Python has done this, like brought to you by Microsoft, right? I mean, maybe the timing's not great now, but like we could totally do that, right? I mean, that gets back to the democracy thing is that like it's really hard to rely on small donors when there's these huge piranhas, you know, these great white apex predators out there that want to access our community, that if we structure it correctly, like fine, like, you know, we do the PyCharm promotion every year, right? Like, I don't think people have a problem with that. That's been a great partnership. That's led to them helping with the survey. There's no reason if, you know, we couldn't do that, sponsor the fellowship program or some of these other things. It's just that, you know, it's all this extra work for the board. And so we talk about it and it doesn't happen, but I'm optimistic that if there are these committees, we can have a newsletter on the website. We can fix that sidebar. Carlton and I have done the work on it. It just needs to be approved. Yes, Carlton.
Absolutely. There are people in the Django community who have the ability to communicate with enterprise companies and do the long thread that's necessary to get the sign off on the funding. But without, the thing is, these kind of big companies, they just literally can't give you the money unless you go through that process. But it needs somebody to say, right, I'm going to be the front person to speak to company X, which we know uses Django.
Right. That, and they can't bother unless it's a significant amount of money because it's not worth their effing time, you know? So like they want, like I know this, they want to be asked, give us $500,000 or give us mid six figures to fund the program for 3 years. Like do it once, boom, all this amazing placement, right? 50,000, 20,000, like it's not worth their time to respond. And that's partly why they all give their money to Python instead of Django, because they assume we're part of the PSF anyways. And also because it's easier to write $1 million check to Python and get placement at a conference and, you know, than to deal with the small fish. So anyways, yes, good.
Go on. Before I let you speak, I'm just going to say, you know, that not reinventing the wheel thing, the mailing list on the thing could just literally be RSS feed to email on the blog. Mm-hmm. That could be it. Wouldn't be too hard.
I think we're all in an environment agreement here, but it, like, do we know someone who's run a Django newsletter for a couple of years that could maybe help out with this?
One.
I know Jeff Triplett. I know me. Like, it's trivial. Like,
yeah, no, 100%. I mean, the fundraising thing's an interesting one, and I agree with you. There's a ton of place. I have concern potentially if the focus becomes completely like huge enterprise people, because if we make big changes due to a whale and then they're like, oh no, you need to change this or we're going to pull our money, like suddenly you're stuck in the water. It's definitely a direction to go. I think the other direction, right, talking about materials, we don't have a one pager, which is like, I'm a random developer at a random company that uses Django, but that has been using Django for years and everything's built on Django. Just hand this to your COO, your CTO. Here's the one pager that, you know, if nothing else, right, we could legitimately say, you're getting $200,000 of fellows value a year, right? Minimum by donating $5,000, right? Like, we want the big, we want the little, we want everything.
You get $1,000 at $5,000, easy.
But yeah, I don't know. It is a chicken and egg problem.
But we're getting the chicken though, because we're in a deficit. And Carlton has just spoken about all these things. Like, so maybe it's partly we need to articulate not just what's being, like, more clearly what's not being done if for want of some money. But also, if we just stuck the sidebar on there, we could get some more corporate money.
Yeah. I think it's come up before, so I hesitate to ask this and feel free to.
No, I know. This is the thing. We get burned out on talking about it because all we talk about.
But the specific one, and feel free to cut this, Will. What about, like, sponsored releases, right? Like, we put some amount for port releases and a larger amount for an LTS. This release brought to you by so-and-so, and they gave money for it, right?
This
That's a simple one. We put
Django
their name
4.2
on it.
LTS brought to you by Rusty.
Exactly. Why not?
I think as long as it was clear that we needed the money and where it was going, it's just...
So that's another interesting point, and that's come up at board meetings at various times that people, you know, maybe know somebody or inside a lot at the level of funding that we're talking about, that's like, oh, we only need one or two of these and we're golden. They're very interested in understanding specifically to some degree how the money's being used, and talking about fellows, right? They're interested in it can pay for another fellow, not that it's going to continue paying for a fellow. So that's an interesting thing on how we articulate that and how we target it or not. And frankly, how we and do we publicize our financials in what way and to whom?
Well, and that's, I guess I don't want to say the word guilty. Like, that was one thing I wanted to do was do a public post on the finances. I did do some work behind the scenes to tidy things up, and maybe Peter will do this. Yeah, people are unaware. I mean, I remember at DjangoCon talking with Jacob and Simon about the finances of the DSF, and they had no idea. But how could they? Like, they don't sit on board meetings. Like, you know?
Well, so Jacob does now again, but...
Well, Jacob does, yes. Well, that was part of... He mentioned that he was thinking about running, and I was like, well, you know, we could use you.
Yeah.
So yes, anyway, so it's all those things, but I, you know, and it is true that there is a risk that if the funding, you know, right now it's a third to a quarter comes from the pie, just the, well, maybe not, but a fifth comes from the, just the PyCharm campaign. So if you have all your money from a couple fish, then like that can be a weakness. Like that was Python's problem. All their money came from the conferences. And so with COVID, they didn't have conferences. And so that was a problem. But, you know, having more money gives you more options too.
Yeah, absolutely.
To do things. It's the, you know, they hired, like Python, they hired someone who, like, there are people, we probably would need to hire a consultant who does this all day long and knows how to tee it up and deal with these companies because they know what they want, but they just can't be bothered unless it's put to them on a platter. But if it's on a platter, like, they're looking for, I think, wins, and Django is a pretty feel-good, you know, story.
So. Yeah, absolutely. And I don't want anybody who's listening to this to feel like the sky is falling. It's not. We have money in the bank. We have backstop. We could run for a while at current levels in a while, you know, years. But it limits what we can do, what we're able to do. You know, fellows, we, you know, are in the process of hiring a new one. Can we pay even approaching competitive rates in certain areas? Right. There's all sorts of questions on where that goes. But yeah.
Well, Carlton, in a way, this is your, I mean, not that you're leaving the podcast, but this is your last podcast as a fellow.
Yeah, by the time we record next week, I won't be a fellow. Yet.
Before you're irrelevant, do you have any thoughts?
Not beyond what we've said. I think, you know, I remember speaking to Frank when he was the president at, it must have been 2018, something at DjangoCon, and we were having this conversation then about, you know, why don't we raise more money? I think you must have started it, Will. But Frank was like, well, you know, we could raise more money, but what for? I think at the time there was a kind of feeling, well, Django's sort of, you know, getting old in the tooth and whatnot. But then the time since then, it's really kind of refreshed, you know, just the 4.2 release, what we got going on, CyclePG3, the async changes over the thing, the forms changes have come through the last few, you know, it's an exciting time. It's not like that. It's like, no, actually, we should be out there competing with the fancy JavaScript frameworks and going, no, do you know what? Django is cool and it's boring. Boring in the good sense, right? Of being, it's reliable and it's got things like LTS releases, and you know that a couple of years later your code will still work. Those kind of things. But Django's cool, and we should be promoting it, and we should be out there saying, "No, do you know what? We want to 3x the budget in order to be able to do these things." And 3xing the budget, while it sounds hard, isn't really, because the budget's so small, it's easy to get exponential growth from a small base. So let's do these things. Like, I honestly. I'm really excited about Django. It's such a vibrant place. It's like, I haven't felt like this since the DRF Kickstarter all those years ago, if you remember that, right? We really are in a ripe and fertile time. Let's maximize it.
Well, and I think having committees and stuff is a good way to keep people involved who have knowledge, but maybe can't do the full board or fellowing. Like I'm definitely going to volunteer for something. We can't endlessly rely, behind the scenes, Chaim, we talked last year, like a bunch of board people stepped down because COVID and other things. And thank God that you're still there.
Thank you.
Because, you know, there's only a couple of you with that institutional knowledge to do it. And, you know, but just because somebody needs to take a breather on one of these things doesn't mean they're stepping away from the community, but they need to be asked, and it needs to be, someone needs to kind of structure it. We can't just rely on the board to do all that as volunteers.
But I think if the board, with the help of committees, could come up with like actionable to-do lists, like, you know, do you know what this needs doing and that needs doing and that needs doing, it would be quite easy to reach out to the wider community, all those people who are active now with using Django, and say, hey, look, there are these projects that need people power. Come and help.
Like, maybe not pre-approved, but like mostly approved.
Yeah, but it's the lack of that clear direction, which gives us nothing to call out for, to, you know, so there's, you know.
Yeah.
It's like chicken and egg again. I mean, we've used that phrase 58 times already. But if we had those calls to action, we'd be able to put out the call for volunteers.
I'm definitely an optimist, possibly in the face of, you know, research that suggests otherwise, right? I forget the research, but basically, you know, the idea is in any community, like, you know, 2% or like do everything, another 10% sort of participate, and the rest are just sort of like vaguely aware, right? I'm an optimist that if we do give more opportunity to the greater community, when I say the greater community here, I'm saying explicitly people in this world that use Django, whether that's 100,000 people, 2 million people, I can make arguments in both directions, right? People in this world that use Django. What can you do an hour of your time? Say, yeah, this has helped me in my career. This has been fun. This is whatever, you know, yeah, it'd be lovely if you come on and give $5. That's easy to do. You could do that. But, you know, what if you don't want to give the money? What can you do in an hour that gives something back or that gives you, you know, a little more exposure to the community to help us out, us help you out, whatever. Maybe I'm wildly starry-eyed, but I wouldn't be doing this if I weren't, right?
Right, but yeah, you're right. All communities, all volunteer communities have this power law, like where the top contributor, they do masses and then it drops off almost to the bottom and it long tail up. But you can move that head outward, right? So that, and just by moving that head outward, you sort of, you know, massively change the sum of work that's done over the whole graph. Yes, it's always going to be a power law. But what we don't, what we haven't historically done, I think, is try to be open to moving the curve away from the axis. And we could do that.
And the thing is, you get something from it. It's not just this altruistic thing. I mean, we all met each other through Django. Like, that's enriched my life, right? You meet people, like, it doesn't need to be just this thankless thing, because it's not, because it's an opportunity for you to meet people, to learn how things work, like to sit in on conversations with Microsoft and Google, or, you know, whatever level of things you're doing. I mean, you know, it is a community that is, you know, obviously we think is worth being a part of. And so finding that way to do that first thing, you know, it's nice to work around a common goal, you know, however it is. So, you know, I'm very happy to hear that the board is putting in place plans to like tap into that a bit more. And I know we're basically, yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, just to piggyback off that, Will, I know I said to you, Carlton, I'm not sure if Will shared it. I said to Will, you know, life is busy. You're both friends. I love talking to you guys, but I have no time. Can I be on the podcast just because I want to hang out with you guys more than anything?
No, you did say that. Yeah, it's more efficient.
Right. And I think that's the point, right? I've made friends, deep friends, long lasting friendships. You know, I hope when we travel around, Carlton, with the family, I know we've talked about this, we hope to visit you guys. But yeah.
Yes. I know you're both families of six, which is unbelievably impressive.
Yeah, we could have another podcast about having four kids, but
we're starting your own decision. This week we've got Jaime and I've got Will with us. He's only got three kids.
Right, exactly. So,
I know.
Come on, Will.
I know.
gotta bring those numbers up.
Nobody knows what it's like. I mean, even I can just share, because my family doesn't listen to this podcast, but like my brother has one child and my mom was visiting and helping, and she said, gosh, it's so hard raising one child in the city, Will. And I was just, my brother's younger. His kids are younger. His kid is younger. It's just like, I'm like, God, three is so hard. And you're like, yep. And four. So you got to walk in the shoes. All right. Well, we're basically at an hour. Chaim, is there anything that you wanted to? I didn't get a chance to ask you why you went to law school.
Oh my goodness. I mean, we could jump back on. We could do another podcast or just a chat anytime. Yeah. So I have some lawyers in the family. So to be clear with everyone, I did my undergrad and I did a master's, sort of 4.5 year joint program, in computer science. Started my career in software, and then law had always been something interesting to me. I sort of love learning and continuous learning. And yeah. And I was like, hey, I'm going to go to law school. Suffolk University in Boston has an official law school night program. So that's unusual. When they go to law school at night, it's like, oh yeah, if you put classes together over a period of time, you can eventually get a law degree. At Suffolk, it's a 4-year program as opposed to a normal 3-year day program. It's a 4-year night program. So I did that while I was working. Deep focus in intellectual property, as one would expect, which was lovely and wonderful. And I'm very happy I went to law school and took the bar and all that fun stuff. I happened to finish in May of 2008. You take the bar in August of 2008. Between the time I finished and the time I took the bar, there was one Friday in Boston and sort of the greater community at large in the US that some, I think, 900 attorneys were laid off across various firms because it was 2008. And I said, okay, that was a fun idea. I'm not interested in just like putting up a shingle and doing, you know, personal injury law. It was
patent law.
Fun.
Patent law is where it's at.
So patent law is interesting. I could get into a whole argument. So I'm interested.
I have friends who are patent lawyers. If right. I was going to be a lawyer, that's the only area that is worth
so
a darn.
So patent, you could go two directions. You go patent prosecution, which is writing patents, USPTO, things like that. You do litigation, trial. Litigation interests me a little more. And honestly, for my background, is the only one that's available to me. For patent prosecution, you need to have a background in a hard science, and a BA in computer science does not satisfy. A BS does, but most universities in the US, at least at the time,
you needed a BS.
We're not a BS in computer science.
Really?
And actually, it's why I did my master's.
What about an MS?
No, oh. Well, maybe. So it's why I did my master's. So I went to Brandeis, I was 3 years into my program, and they added a BS, and you had to take like two semesters of physics to get the BS. And I didn't know this history of the law school stuff at the time. And I said, well, I could take two semesters of physics, or at Brandeis a master's, if you did your undergrad at Brandeis is only a year, 2 years if you didn't do it. I said, or I have enough credits, I could graduate a semester early and just do the year, which is only a semester beyond what I would have done normally. So I did the master's instead.
So the legal community lost a great...
I don't know. I mean, thank you. That's very kind of you. But it brings an interesting... point of view, I think, into business, right? I did business classes, antitrust, everything, right? And I think I come to problems with a different eye. It's probably helped me in sort of my career progression and growth to sort of leadership and beyond the, you know, whether it's an IC role, and there's a whole nother conversation. We've started a second podcast, but right, like you have places where there's five or six or Google, right? There's 11, I think, engineering steps on their engineering ladder. But their ultimate one, only two people have ever been, like a Google Distinguished Fellow or whatever. And so they bought YouTube and their CTO became that role. The first half of that are very much you do software, right? And their software skills and you're getting better. And basically you're expected to get better over a period of time till you reach that senior level or whatever. The steps after that, principal, staff, whatever people call it, bring in very different skill sets that people may or may not want to exercise or do, even if it's considered an IC role. And you can have a wonderful career as a senior. You don't want to do that extra stuff? Don't, because a lot of times it can be annoying getting into the business role. I like it, but I think law school brought a lot of those skills that we don't learn as just sort of, you know, engineer trainees for anybody who did traditional university.
Well, nobody on this podcast, well, I guess you did, but sort of didn't, but Carlton and I didn't, so. Anyways, Carlton, do you have anything to add? I know we're...
No, it's brilliant.
Okay, we'll have to have you on again, Chaim. We don't have any plans to stop doing these podcasts.
Yeah,
so
we can always do another one.
That.
You know, plenty of topics. And I love talking, which is, you know, you both know that.
I've never noticed that.
But I tell me if the podcast goes well, because I won't be listening to it because I love, you know, performing, but I can't watch myself perform.
Oh, you would love doing one. Then you get to edit yourself. Yeah.
Oh, God,
great.
No. Oh, God.
Well, anyways. Thank you for doing this. Let's instead of doing it in private, we did it in public. But that's what this is meant to be. It's just a chat
exactly.
Among people using Django, and hopefully it illustrates some things to people listening. And we'll look for announcements on the new fellow on committees. And Carlton's on Mastodon if you want to say thank you for all his service. He's not going away, but Thursday is his last official day. Yes?
That is right.
Okay. We are at DjangoChat.com, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.